When I was preaching in the prison, they said, Big John or Little John? So John chapter number 2. Here we are, beginning in verse 1 here in just a moment, but we are looking at the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. Now, we have talked about this, we've studied this, and we understand that Jesus wasn't serving booze. Amen? The Bible says new wine comes from the cluster. So what's wine? Wine's grape juice. You've got good wine, you got bad wine. After a while, it ferments and gets old, and it shouldn't be partaken of. So that thing about Jesus drank wine, all that baloney, here he is talking about new wine. And when he turns that water into wine, he's doing several different things, showing the power of God, showing the glorifying the Father with his power, and he's showing a type of the blood of Christ. And we know that we've studied about new wine from the cluster being unfermented wine, being a type of the blood of Christ, and the fermented wine being the tainted type of the blood of man, tainted with sin. But I want to look at a few things here for just a few minutes today, and we'll see how long. I don't have a whole lot to say. We'll see what happens. Amen. Y'all could be out of here before you fall asleep today. But just a reminder, there's food downstairs afterwards if you want to eat. Stay and eat. You're welcome to. I believe there's food down there. I haven't been down there yet. I can smell something down there. So John chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. So while I was tempted to preach a message called Saving the Best for Last, amen, because the best is yet to come, we're going to be called out of here. We might just talk about that for a few minutes, amen. Every blessing and every good thing the Lord's blessed you with and done for you on this side of heaven, oh boy, I have not seen, ear not heard, or entered in the heart of man the things that he hath prepared for them that love him. The best is yet to come. And that's going to start the rapture, even though come, Lord Jesus. We're looking for that rapture. We're looking for that time being changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, to be like him. But in the meantime, I want to look at a few things this morning, and beginning in verse number 1 again. It says, In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. First thing I want to see is he showed up at the wedding. He showed up at the wedding. So, well, I was born and raised in church, and my husband was born and raised in church, my wife was born and raised in church, whatever, and we got married, and Jesus was there from the beginning. Amen. He showed up at the wedding. I want you to notice something, though. Look at verse number 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. He was invited. He didn't crash the party. I am not a Calvinist because God's not a Calvinist, amen? I don't believe God forces himself on people, and he wouldn't have just showed up at that wedding, kicked the door down, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to make water into wine. You know what? He was invited. And if you're living your life, or you're enduring your marriage, or you have a friendship that is questionable or a dicey or rocky or whatever, and you're doing it without Jesus Christ, it's because he wasn't invited. Amen. He didn't just show up at this wedding. They asked for him. You know why? They wanted it to be special. So they invited Jesus Christ to the wedding. And he showed up. Very little do you ever see Jesus show up anywhere uninvited or force himself on anybody. You know what they're doing? They're asking him for things. You know the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I just wish the Lord would just get into my relationship and fix it. I just wish the Lord would get into this circumstance and fix it. And I just wish the Lord would do that. I wish the Lord, well, ask him, amen? Invite him. Invite him. You have not because you ask not. Now, a lot of times that's the truth. You know, he doesn't just show up and do things against people's will. Sometimes, you know, you've got a marriage in it or a friendship that's not right. You know, I mean, you're both saved even, and just things just aren't right. You know what you need to do? Pray for the other person and invite Jesus Christ in. He shows up at that wedding, and when he shows up at the wedding, he comes invited, and he's waiting and willing and wanting to do something to show his deity. But they invited him. He didn't just show up. After they invited him and he showed up, look at verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jump down to verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, fill water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. He showed up. He was invited to the wedding. He showed up at the wedding. And then there was an issue that needed to be taken care of. How did it get taken care of? How was it taken care of? They surrendered to his words. He told them what to do, and they did it. Isn't that something? I believe what's missing in a lot of quote-unquote so-called Christianity today is, oh, they want Jesus to show up, but then he's supposed to stand around, just hang out on the edge of the, at the edge of the room, stand in the corner. I'll call you if I need you. But people aren't willing to surrender to his words. If they would not have surrendered to his words, they would have never seen the water turned into wine. Y'all ever tried to turn water into wine? Don't tell me if you tried to turn it into old wine. Amen. You ever seen water turned into wine in your lifetime? You ever been able to do it? You want to see a miracle? You want to see the power of God? Invite him in and then surrender to his words. Why does he want to come in? He comes in because he wants to fellowship. And when he fellowships, he says, I'm here. It's great that you invited me. I'm glad to be here. You talked to me when you invited me. And I came. I showed up. I fulfilled your desire for me to be here. And he says, now open my word and surrender to my words. So, well, I've got this problem. And I'm speaking for all of us now. I've got a relative that's not saved, or I got a relative who's not living for God, or whatever. Well, invite the Lord into the circumstance and pray for him, praise God, but ask the Lord to give you wisdom from his word to deal with your part of the situation, and then surrender to the word. That's hard to do. Now, a lot of times I'm like, honestly, I could be like a bull in a china shop sometimes. Amen? I got a goal. I got a purpose. I got a track in my hand. There's somebody that looks like they probably need the track. Lord says, give them the track. We're going to go out there and we're going to do that. It don't always work that way. Sometimes we need to invite the Lord in, let him speak with us and surrender to his words. Lord, what would you have me to do here? What would you have me do in those circumstances? Go back to the Sunday school hour. Talking about marriage. He that endureth the end shall be saved. I think that's what 90% of the marriages in the world are. I'm enduring to the end. Please come get me out of here. Amen. Oh, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's the only way to get the women to amen in here is just talk about marriage and talk about the husbands. Amen. The husbands go, oh, just, Lord, just get me out of here. He's nuts. Amen. But if you've got a marriage that has a less than perfect path, trying to be kind here, a less than perfect path, invite Jesus Christ in. Say, well, I'm saved. I know He's just going to show up and do all kinds of things. How about asking Him? Invite Him in and ask Him. Make Him feel welcome. You know what He deserves to be? Welcome. Lord, come into this relationship. Come into my business dealings. Come into my friendships. Come into my kinships. Come into my marriage. And I want you to know that I want you here. I want you here because there's a situation or situations going on that are big. They're bigger than us. There's a battle going on that's bigger than Dr. Phil can solve. Amen. There's a battle going on that's bigger than Eli Lilly or Pfizer can solve. Amen. There's a battle going on that only Jesus Christ can fight. Lord, come in and then show me from Your Word not what's wrong with the other person, but what would make me better for you, for the circumstances, and if it's your marriage, for your spouse. Amen. Three things Jesus Christ did. He lived to glorify God the Father. He always pleased the Father. He did not do those things which pleased Himself. He was selfless. If you're going to be a good husband or a good wife, you're going to have to match those three things. Live to glorify God. Try to do everything that pleases God. And be selfless. What's that mean? When he's a knucklehead, a husband, overlook it sometimes and pray for him. And see if there's something you could do to be a blessing to help him. When she's a knucklehead, I know you ladies are never knuckleheads, but if she was ever to become a knucklehead. Now I'm boating me out. I'm tired of this lying up here. Now if the ladies, when she's being a knucklehead, overlook it. Pray about it. Invite the Lord in the situation and ask Him how you could be better as the leader of the family spiritually, how I could be better equipped to be a blessing to her. We talked about that. I'm going to go down the marriage road for just a little bit more because there's a couple people weren't here and they probably won't vote me out if I don't pick this thing up from earlier. But the Lord said her desire would be to her husband in Genesis. That's the wife's desire. The Lord said the husband is supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it in Ephesians. The Lord said in 1 Peter chapter 3 that the wife is supposed to have a quiet and meek spirit, not a... And the Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 that the husband is supposed to live with her according to knowledge and showing her honor as the weaker vessel, realizing she's the weaker vessel and realizing she has needs that you don't have. Amen, amen, and amen. I mean, men are, we're something. We're different. I don't know how, it's weird stuff, men liking men. Men are disgusting. I mean, God put it in you guys to like us for some reason. I don't know what it is. But men are like, there's a path through the house, and I can make it in or out if I need in or out. Women are like, I need it to be clean. I need it to be tidy. There's a place for everything, and everything belongs in its place. And women are, and I know the exceptions, and I know the exception for the rule and all that stuff. But they need a flower in a vase sometimes. We don't. We need weed killer, amen. I mean, we got a goal. We can kill this stuff off. We ain't never cutting this again. Get us a $5,000 blowtorch. We'll clear the driveway off when it snows. I mean, we're pretty Neanderthal-like. But they need some things we don't need. You know what women need that men don't need? A lot of times. I love you. You know what men need? Three words. You did well. You know what you did well means? I love you. Amen, amen, and amen. You know what the woman hears when she hears I love you? She hears you did well. That means she's appreciated for everything she does. When the man hears you did well, he hears I love you because I appreciate everything you do. Three different words mean the same things. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm not speaking as one that has arrived, as Paul would say. But I mean, God has given us a Bible. And it's a man's job to realize that the woman's different. Not just different in shape, but different in function. If women's minds work like men's, we'd be in trouble. If men's minds work like women's, we'd be in trouble. It's a relationship where she's to help you glorify God. We talked about this in Sunday school. But don't read your Bible to fix everybody else. Read your Bible so you can be better equipped for the situations and God can use you to be a blessing and give you the answer to the problem of the situation. If you want to see Jesus Christ turn water into wine, invite Him in, hear His words, and do what He says. Lord, my relative does this. You get in the Bible, and the Bible says, well, yeah, but maybe you're a knucklehead, and the relative's not going to listen to you right now. And you're like, yeah, I don't want to hear that. What about them? How are you going to fix them? How are you going to fix them? How are you going to fix her? How are you going to fix him? How are you going to fix that? And the Lord says, I'm trying to show you that you're part of the equation. You're the A, and the A plus B equals C. You don't want the C to be C anymore. You're going to have to be a B. Amen. You got to change part of the equation. Well, that part of the equation is not willing to change. But if God will change the willing part, maybe the unwilling part become willing. Amen. You have not because you ask not. He showed up at the wedding. He was invited. They had a need. They had a request. They surrendered to His words, and because they surrendered to His words, He was able to perform that miracle. There's nobody there thought that water was going to be turned into wine except Jesus Christ and probably maybe His disciples. But nobody that was asking where's the wine coming from was expecting that. They just wanted the wine. He did what He was asked because they surrendered to His words. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it person where anything you say God has to do. When you're asking something that's going to glorify Him and you'll surrender to His words, He'll help you do your part. Amen, amen, and amen. He showed up at the wedding. They surrendered to His words. Look at verse 9. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. When He showed up and they surrendered to His words and His will, He showed the power of God. With that sibling, with that child, with that spouse, with that work situation, if you're looking for it to turn into something that glorifies God and you want Him to do something, it's going to take the power of God. Amen. I think people, we have been so trained to think that man has the answers that we overlook the power of God. You ever seen God just work a miracle and you go, good night, I can't believe that I knew He could do it, but I can't believe He did it. You know why I believe He did it? Because somebody invited Him in, somebody asked Him to do it, and somebody submitted to His words, and He showed up and glorified God the Father. Oh, Lord, I wish my work relationship, I wish my home relationship, I wish my sibling relationship would just glorify You. And God says, okay, open the book, listen to me, and I'm going to show you the power of God. Don't overlook the power of God's work through your testimony. If God can change your testimony or enhance your testimony or give you a better testimony, make you a better testimony, that's going to affect the whole equation. Amen. We've been married a little over 30 years. Dr. Phil never had a chance. We'd have fired him in day 3. Amen. The Bible, and whenever we submit to His words, amen, He works miracles. Is everything going to be perfect? No, but he's going to show up and do what glorifies the Father when you invite him to, when you ask him to, when you surrender to the words of God. He'll show the power of God. That's what he did here. He said, fill those water pots with water, and they filled them. He said, draw out now and bear unto the governor, and they bear it. And God was glorified, and he's still being glorified today because of that. If they wouldn't have filled the water pots and they wouldn't have given it to the, they wouldn't have bear that those water pots to the governor of the feast, that wouldn't have been in the Bible. But the testimony of him being invited and them surrendering to his words and the power of God are on these pages because somebody just said the Lord's going to have to show up and do it. The Lord's just going to have to show up and do it. Look at verse 10. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is works. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You notice something? They invited him and he showed up. They had a need and he fulfilled the need. He didn't fulfill the need in the beginning because the need wasn't there. You know what he did? He showed up. He showed the power of God. He stayed to the end. You know what the Bible says? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that something? God doesn't leave us. But if we're not inviting him in and surrendering to his words, we walk away from him. Amen. I mean, it's pretty simple, really. It's simple to explain. It's hard to break the cycle sometimes. But we could bankrupt the divorce industry with about a dozen verses from the Bible if people would invite the Lord in and surrender to those verses. Amen. You don't need a program. You need a person. Jesus Christ. He stayed to the end. Could you imagine the excitement when they seen that? Oh, we're out of wine. Party's over. Wedding's done. Might as well wrap it up. He says, hang on, you haven't seen anything yet. And here they are. I mean, his presence was a miracle. He showed up, and what a blessing that he showed up. What a blessing that his presence was there. But when he showed his power, when he showed his power, save the best for last. I preached this several times over the years, not this passage, but these words. Not how you start, it's how you end. Amen. Probably the majority of people in the world start on the wrong foundation. Probably the majority of friendships start on the wrong foundation. Probably the majority of business ventures start on the wrong foundation. Probably the majority of marriages, whether they're lost or saved, start on the wrong foundation. They might start on the foundation of money or the foundation of looks or the foundation of things and power and all this stuff. But if they don't start on that foundation, Jesus Christ, they'll never be fruitful eternally. But like I said before, I'll say again, if it's on the foundation now, invite the Lord in to rebuild on that foundation. How about you, but if I built a house, if I built it all myself, you wouldn't want to go in it probably, man. But if I built a house, and I built that thing, and that foundation was just rickety, and it rained 2 days after it got everything finished up, and that house starts sinking and settling and shifting, and windows won't open, doors won't shut, walls are cracking, you know, the roof's busted open because it just shifted so much. I say, good night, man. You got the wrong foundation. So they take the mud jacks and everything. They jack it up and they get it level and they support the house and they tear the foundation out and they pour. They get somebody who knows what they're doing. They come in there and they pour the footing and they settle that house back down on that foundation. You know what's still going to, it's got a good foundation now. They never seen, this is a huge foundation, amen. Never seen a foundation like this. The best foundation ever. Donald Trump put that foundation in, amen. They ain't never seen a foundation like that. We're going to gold plate that foundation, amen. And they settle that house back down on that thing. You know what that thing said? That thing's got the right foundation, but you know what happens? It's going to have to be rebuilt. It's going to have to be rebuilt. You don't have to settle for the windows not shutting, the doors not shutting, the cracks in the roof, because the master carpenter, Jesus Christ, can take that foundation and rebuild on that foundation and produce a mansion. Amen. But he's got to be invited. And once he shows up, you got to hear him. And then you have to submit to his words. I think the biggest problem with quote-unquote Christianity today is people want the feelings. They want the emotions. They want the blessings. They want to pretend it's all coming from God. But they don't want to surrender to the words of God. And he's not able to show his power because he's not invited in to show his power. He's invited in case there's an emergency. Oh, Lord, I got this problem. I got that problem. He goes, well, where were you when the storm wasn't hitting? Why is the only time you talk to me? It's like he's the police department. The only time people talk to him is when the thief's halfway in the window. Or already ran out the door. But you know, if the police would have been there to begin with, the crime wouldn't have taken place. If the Lord's there to begin with, most of the problems aren't there. Amen. We got what we want. We've invented a triple A Jesus. Amen. Lord, I'm on a solid road, got a flat tire, radiator's leaking, battery's dead. Could you jump start me and get me on down the road? All right, thanks. See you later. I'm going to jump in, Lord, because this thing is junk, and I need you to keep it going. No, wait till the next time. I'll see you then. I lock my keys in the car, and I run the battery dead. Lord, could you show up and help me? Okay, thanks. See you later. He's not even invited in the car. He just wants to get your keys. I want you to get the keys. No. I want you to get in the driver's seat because I'm messing everything up. Amen. I'm messing it all up, and if you don't drive this thing, that AAA is worthless. That's what they call Christianity now. So there's a big revival. Why is there supposedly a big revival all the time? Because there's a big misfortunate thing that happens, unfortunate occurrence, and everybody goes, look, a revival! No, if a true revival happened, you would have Jesus with you every single day. Amen. Not just a world full of people talking about a generic God. You would have, if a true revival happens, people would beg him to show up. People would listen to his words. People would see the true power of God, not this fake stuff. And then they would realize that he's going to stay to the end if they just keep inviting. Oh, sorry, Lord, you got to get out now. I got another rider coming. You don't want to be with them. You guys wouldn't get along. Right? I got something going on that you wouldn't like. See you when I need you. And he's saying, wait, you need me now. But he's not going to force himself. He showed up at that wedding because he was invited. He was invited. Somebody knew something. Didn't they? Let's get Jesus here. He is the best man. Amen. He comes in his sandals. He comes in his robe. He comes in there. And I said, boy, I'm glad you showed up, Lord. We need something. He goes, all right. If you need something, I'm going to need you to do something. Fill these pots of water. Pots of water. And then the power of God sets in on that place. That water's turned to wine. There's a revival going on at the wedding. Why? Because, well, two really popular people got married. No, because the Son of God showed up and people saw the power of God. And he stayed to the end. How about you? Do you want him to stay to the end, or you just want to call him when your keys are locked in the car? Valid question. You want him to ride in the back like Cooter on, what was that, Dukes of Hazzard, in case you get in a wreck, or you want him to drive? It had to have been where Cooter was. How'd they fix that car all the time? He's riding back. Jesus doesn't want you to chauffeur him around, right? He wants to chauffeur us around. He wants to turn. He wants to decide when to go keep on this road and turn on that road and do this and do that. But he wants to talk to you, and he wants you to surrender to his words so he can show you the power of God. So, well, I don't know, preacher, this thing is just lost. This is a nope, ain't no way. I had a 81 Camaro, and that thing, it was in pretty good shape. I rebuilt it. It's like a 600 horse 383 put in there, dart iron angle platinum heads. That thing would, you could burn rubber at 50 mile an hour, just punch it, just roast the tires off that thing. But it had some frame issues and stuff, some rust underneath. And I thought, I ain't never going to be able to fix all this stuff. So you know what I did? I sold it to somebody that could fix it. Somebody that could fix it got it. Because I was limited in what I could do with it. You know what life is? You're going down this road in this rickety old car, and you need somebody that knows what they're doing to fix it. And there's only one that can fix it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the one. He's the one. You don't need to keep him on speed dial for an emergency. You need to walk with him every step of the way. So everything's not an emergency. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you turned that water into wine, showing the power of God. You were invited. You were appreciated. They did what you requested. You showed your power. And some people didn't even know how it happened. But we do. It's all you. Lord, help us. We're a mess. And if you don't take the wheel, you don't drive this rickety old life of ours forward, we're in trouble. Walk with us, talk with us, and give us a heart to submit to you and your word and your will and your ways. In Jesus' name.